Well, a little housekeeping to start. As is our tradition, when a storm is coming, we will notify you as to what's happening by Facebook and email. And for those of you that don't have either one of those, I ought to make you stand. But we will try to give you a call to tell you just what's happening here. We could be experiencing weather Wednesday, so be alert to that. And we have used our building as a safe refuge for some that get flooded out. So we will alert you to that. Also this morning, as you notice, Jay's not here. Today's his dad's 75th birthday, or this week was his 75th, 80th. Boy, he aged 5 years in just the last week. 80th birthday, so Jay's in New Orleans celebrating that with his dad. Today is one of those days that our children look forward to. It's promotion day, and they've been promoted already and gone to their new Bible classes with new teachers. I guess it's a day that teachers look forward to, too, some with a little bit of anxiety, but most with a great deal of excitement to be beginning a new study and have a new class. Today will be a little bit different in that I won't be preaching. Jay actually preaches, so come back for him next week as he continues the series that he's on from the Beatitudes. But today we're going to talk about the impact that Bible teachers have made on me, and I think it'd probably be magnified and can be in your own life. You can understand some of the things that I'm going to be sharing with you. My story, more than anything else. You know, Jesus said in answer to a question that was once asked, what is the greatest command? He said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said the second greatest command is just like that. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Later on in Jesus' ministry, he said to the disciples that were gathered around him, I'm going to give you a new command, that you love one another like I have loved you. To me, not only are those three of the most important commands ever spoken, they're also three of the most important reasons why Bible school teachers teach. We tell the story of Jesus because we love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We tell that story to everyone because we love our neighbors. And we share that story with our church family in Bible classes because we love our brethren. I've been blessed to have been a regular Bible school teacher since 1972. Most of that time, as many of you know, I taught on Sunday morning and Sunday night and also Wednesday night. My story probably is not unlike many of you, yours. I didn't begin intending to be a teacher, nor was I trained to be a teacher. I still, after 50 years, feel inadequate standing in front of a group of people that I consider my peers, who many of them know every bit as much Bible as I do. And many know how to teach a lot better than I do. But even with those things, I love to teach. That has been instilled in me from my very beginning. And so today I would like to tell you my story, how I got to where I am today, and also honor the Bible school teachers that we have here in our congregation. My first 7 years were spent in a very small Texas South Texas town. Its name was Freer. You've probably never heard of that and can't find it on a map if you try. It was a ranching area and an oil field area. My dad worked in the oil patch all of his life, all of his adult life. And that little town had a church that was made up of ranchers and ranch hands and oil field hands and a few teachers. I don't remember very many persons in that church, but I remember the experience because my mom took me to church, to Bible class, every Sunday from the time I was probably 3 or 4 weeks old. Days, that would have been stretching it a bit. We lived way out in the country in an oil well camp about 45 minutes from town. And so it took a lot of effort for my mom to pack me up and later my little sister. My dad very seldom came to church with us. I know that this church fostered the beginning of my love for Bible school and Bible school teaching, a love that that has lasted for these 70-some-odd years. When I was 7 years old, we moved to the big city, Corpus Christi, Texas. The big city, 100,000-plus, coming from my little community of 20 or so, and the town I went to church in of about 2,000, that was a huge move for us. My mom placed membership with the Norton Street Church in Corpus Christi, which is now an inner city church that has changed its makeup over the years. Now primarily Hispanic, but still a very vibrant church in Corpus Christi. We lived a couple of houses down from a fellow, Lewis Gilpin was his name, who was an elder in that church, who took a liking to my dad. And through the first months of our lives there, Lewis taught my dad and baptized him into Christ, which began our life as a spiritually united family, something that was, I think, very important to me. I know many of you here did not grow up like that, have had a spiritually divided family, or maybe just a single-parent family. You can do great things and have eternal rewards, but for me, I think it was very, very important for my family to be spiritually united. Although my mom has always attended church and has a strong faith, she never really was involved in church other than socially. But when my dad was baptized, he was all in. That church was, I think, a lifesaver for our family. It was at the Norton Street Church in the 1950s that I began my love for teachers and teaching. It was a church probably unlike many others in that it believed in small groups. During the time I was there, there were 5 or 6 elders generally, and each one taught a small group in a home every week on either a Tuesday or Thursday. Group discussions were led by the elders. Little kids like me were welcome to join in, but most often we went out and played. Many of you remember the time in our country's history where you could turn your kids loose in the evenings and play in the neighborhood, and there wasn't much harm that could be done. Although I still carry some scars from the playing that we did. I came to love those elders, and I came to love our small group, and I love those kids that I got to play with and go to church with on Sundays and Wednesdays. But it's also the time that I met the first 2 Bible school teachers that really had an impact on my life. Now, the first one was Sister Robinson. Now, I'm figuring that she had a first name, but I was never allowed to know what that was. Sister Robinson was what I was allowed to call her. She was a public school teacher by trade, but she was my fourth grade Bible school teacher. And I don't remember any other of my Sunday morning teachers, but I remember her. To me, she was the greatest Bible school teacher that could ever be. I couldn't imagine somebody that knew the Bible more than she did. But another thing that she did was she sang in our Bible class. And she knew that I loved to sing, and she encouraged me in that. Her classes were fun to be in, and I really, really enjoyed it. And then on Wednesday night, we divided the boys and girls into separate classes, and I had a gentleman by the name of Lee Montgomery. I could call him Lee. I'm not sure why I could call him Lee, and I couldn't call Sister Robinson by her first name, but that was the way it was. Lee was a mechanic. Probably had the dirtiest hands of anybody I've ever seen since. You know how people are that work with cars and oil and grease and they get cuts, and I just remember his hands. But those hands guided a group of young boys, fourth and fifth grade boys, to love the Lord. He was exactly the opposite from Sister Robinson. He was not a professional teacher. I don't know that how far he got in his education. But what he taught us was that no matter what life brings you, you can find an answer in Scripture. All you got to do is look for it. And he taught us how to look for things in the Bible. Taught me how to use a concordance and a Bible dictionary. I remember that our first day of class, he brought a quart jar, glass jar, may have been a mason jar, I'm not sure, for every one of the guys in the class. And he would put a bean in our jar every time we memorized the Scripture, anytime we gave a right answer. If we were first to find a Scripture, which we had to learn where all the books of the Bible were, he taught us how to search. And from my adult life, research the Scriptures. Thank you, Sister Robinson and Lee Montgomery, for the impact that you made on this young man's life. When I was 12, the summer after my 12th birthday, my dad got a promotion and we moved to a little farming community outside of Corpus Christi. It was a railroad town, and lots of people at the church there worked for the railroad or were farmers, different from my early experience of being around ranchers, and there is a difference between a rancher and a farmer. It's there that I met the third Bible school teacher that had a real impact on my life. His name was Dennis Mayfield. Dennis was one of the elders at the church there, and he taught junior high. So he had me for 2 years, probably the result of some of the gray hairs on his head. Dennis was a tenant farmer. I don't know if you understand what a tenant farmer is. It's a person that farms the land that he doesn't own, and he pays a percentage to the owner. We had several of those kinds of farmers in our congregation. Three of the elders were. Dennis was a gentle man, one of the kindest men I've ever known. But he was old school, if you can be old school in the late 50s and 60s. His junior high class sat around an 8-foot table, maybe 2 8-foot tables now that I think about it, because there were a bunch of us. And he taught us verse by verse from a King James Bible, probably one of the only translations that was available back then. No visual aids, no media. Our kids today couldn't sit in a class like that. And he taught us. And what did he teach us? One of the things that stuck with me was we would ask him questions. And as he stumbled trying to pronounce some of the King James words and mangle the names that are there in the King James Bible, we would ask questions and he would give us answers. But one of the things that I remember about him was he would say, this is what I think that means, but I'm going to go home and I will study and come back with a better answer for you next week. And what that taught me was that a lot of us grow up with pat answers and never get beyond that. He told me that the pat answer may not always be the right answer, and he wanted us to have the right answer. I got to work with Dennis. I didn't work under him, but another one of our elders was a farmer, and I worked for him every summer for 5 years. And he and Dennis farmed some of the same land. And so I got to know Dennis outside of class. He made it a real effort to get to know me and encourage me. And I know a lot of teachers through the years do that for their students. It makes such an impact when you get to know a teacher outside of class and when the teacher gets to know their students. Dennis made an impact on my life that I still remember very, very deeply. Jan and I, when I was in the Army, the Army moved us to San Antonio, and we thought we chose a church to worship at. I think as we look back over it, we think God chose that church for us. The Highland Hills Church of Christ in San Antonio, it doesn't exist anymore. But there I was put in touch with several teachers that impacted my life. But the very first one, Jan and I went to a young couple's class, and the teacher was a fellow by the name of Charlie Tipps. Charlie and his wife Glenda were known throughout San Antonio because they held teacher workshops. Charlie had gone to preacher school, but for some reason that hadn't worked out, and he was now a salesman. I remember Charlie as being a marvelous teacher. He knew the scriptures. He studied thoroughly. He presented a well-organized lesson. There was humor, but there was kindness. He spoke the truth to us in love. And then came the day when Charlie announced that he would be gone the next week, and he needed a volunteer to teach the class. And absolutely no one volunteered, as probably is the true in most Bible classes if that announcement is made. And after class, he came to me and asked me if I would teach the class. Not sure why he singled me out. I'm not sure why I said I would do it. But I did, and I was hooked after that class. Pretty soon, the youth minister asked me to assist with the high school class. Another teacher asked Jana to assist her in the fourth grade class, and both of us have been teaching Bible class ever since that time. One of the things that made that church unique and also made it easy for us to be assimilated into the teaching core was that it was a church that practiced team teaching. Jana was immediately ushered into a group of 6 to 8 ladies that she taught with for 2 or 3 years that we were there. And I taught in the high school class with four or five other guys, and just were able to learn so much from them. I learned from a fellow by the name of Bill Moody, from Don Miller, Jeff Green, people that had an impact on my life, and Jana can mention the same as the same number of people. Sometimes you just need to have a kickstart to move you from being a student to being a teacher. Talking to some of you out there now. And I got that kickstart there at Highland Hills when I was asked to teach when I had no clue. But that has lasted. There's been some bumps along the road when I've gone before a class that I was totally unprepared to teach. But I've tried to hone my skills over the years by asking people that were experienced teachers, asking advice. I've gone to workshops over the years and learned from people that knew far more than me. I knew how to teach far better than I did. I've asked questions. I've read books. I've taken notes in the margin of my many Bibles through the years. But nothing beats the education that you get by standing in front of a Bible class. The truth, it's a cliche, but it's really true, that you learn more by teaching a class than your students ever do. And that's certainly been true in my life. Sometimes you don't see the results of your teaching. Sometimes it takes years. Sometimes you do, and you see the light bulb come on in somebody's head. You see their facial demeanor change when they get it. And that's all a Bible school teacher likes to see, have those successes. Last week I met a lady, and I don't see her here. Jerry, are you here? Visiting from San Antonio, and I asked her what church she went to, and she said the Northside Church, and I happened to know somebody that goes to that church. His name was Wayne Spies. He was in my very first high school Bible class. A real challenge. If I was a betting man, I would have said that as soon as he was out of high school, he would never darken the door again. But he did. And he's been a faithful member of that congregation for now nearly 50 years. Retiring as a police officer, as a detective within the San Antonio Police Force. That's a success story that Bible school teachers love to hear. Last month, I got a Facebook message from the wife of one of my kids in Plano, Texas. And she just told me, she said, I've never met you, but I feel like I know you because my husband talks about you all the time. His name was Kirby, and he was the most exasperating kid I've ever had in a class. He challenged me on everything I said. He asked questions, and no matter what I said, he said, "What if?" He had one of those "what if" questions. I lost contact with Kirby for many, many years, reconnected, about maybe 7 or 8 years ago. His wife said, "You made an impact on who he is today." And that's a success story for a Bible school teacher. That's what we live to hear. My hat is off to the Bible school teachers that I've had that made an impact on my life. They made an impact then, and I think their impact will be eternal. I've had teachers literally from cradle roll up that have made an impact on me. And I'm looking out at a congregation now that has those same kinds of people that are making impacts on our kids. I understand the importance of elders and their teaching. I understand the importance of Preacher Jay standing up before us, but there's just something about a Bible class where teachers are hands-on with you, where you can ask, you can stop them and ask a question, and they will give you their time and their love. I can't say enough about the teaching staff that we've got here at this church. We have some exceptional teachers. But maybe better said, we have some exceptional people who teach. And this morning, I would like for you to see who those people are. And so I've asked, and I'm going to ask again, and if you didn't understand what I was asking you before, here's what I want you to do. If you are a teacher, if you have been in a Bible class as a teacher here at this church, and if I've asked you to teach for this next year, would you come forward and make a line here in front so that we can recognize you and pray over you this morning? Guys, come on up. Now, I had some that come to the early service. I tried to talk them out of that, but they wouldn't do it. Steve, adult teachers, we've got some adult teachers. Will, Arletta, Stephen. Thank you. I've asked one of our shepherds, Chuck Cahoon, to come and lead a prayer over these folks. And then we're going to sing a song to them that Jim is going to lead us in. And then you can be seated and I'll finish this.
Father, we love telling others about you and how much you mean to us. And Father, we ask that you would fill our hearts with your Spirit. Give these folks wisdom. Give them the hands and the heart of Jesus. Help them, Father, to show their students your great love and your grace and your compassion. Help us, Father, to lead, to inspire, to love. Father, we thank you for all these folks and their willingness to share their love for you with their students. And Father, we ask that your Spirit be upon them, that you would inspire and you would lead. Show us, Father, your path. Give us your understanding. Bless them and hold them close. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Don't know how many of you know it, but we are losing one of our teachers who's been instrumental in developing our cradle role and preschool program over the years. Sue Craddock will be moving to Tennessee next month. Sue's in Franklin painting her house right now, her new house, and we're going to miss Sue a bunch. When we all get to heaven, I know that each one of our stories is different. Our journeys are different. But I'm pretty sure that when many of us get to heaven, we're going to be there because of a Bible school teacher somewhere along the line. Scripture says that teachers will be judged by a different standard than others because teaching is so important. As our scripture said this morning, it was Jesus himself who put teachers in the church to equip the saints for works of service so that the church could be built up till we all come to maturity. That's the role of teachers. May we be a church who always reveres God's word and pays special honor to those who teach it to us. I know that this morning we've deviated from and not done a sermon. We've told a story, but I think it's a story of God working in lives. And we wouldn't want to end this morning without giving people who have a need a chance to respond. So if you have something on your heart that you would like to share with this congregation, we would ask that you come forward as we sing this song, and then Wes Gordon will close us out. Would you stand?
Marvelous grace of our